Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Lauren L. here. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I'm so glad to be here to share with you Morongo Basin news. It is currently January 25th, 3:30 p.m. I'm starting off the show by sharing a short piece of history coming from the Morongo Basin Historical Society and the 29 Palms Historical Society. This story is coming from 1911. It's about the early homesteaders in the Morongo Basin. So I'll read you the short description here of what happened in 1911. The 1862 Homestead Act was passed to encourage settlement of the West with small farms. Desert area climate was not considered conducive to growing crops. Even around the turn of the 20th century, the valley had few white settlers. In 1873, Jay Vaucher filed a claim on the oasis at 29 Palms. The same year, the sheep farmers, the De Crevecoeurs, settled in the Morongo Valley. The property was taken over by cattle rancher Mark Warren. His home became a stopover for anyone traveling to the 29 Palms area, which was bustling with gold prospecting activity. In 1910, Joseph Hurd and Byron Pierce each filed on homesteads in Yucca Valley. A year later, brothers Charles and Fred Fishbeck filed in Morongo Valley and W. Wood in Joshua Tree. In the next few years, more people filed on homesteads in the area. Two of the oldest were Hezekiah Quick in Yucca Valley and Andrew Culbertson in 29 Palms. Both were in their 70s and both were veterans of the Civil War. Compared to the number of people who filed on homesteads and completed the government requirements, an even greater number relinquished their claims, unable to find water or take the rigors of the desert life. Very interesting. Again, that's coming from a book that was produced by the historical societies in the Morongo Basin, and I'll be sharing a piece of history on every show now until I get through this entire book. Here are some events going on. Really quickly, before I get into events, I just want to mention that Lauren L. of the High Desert does have opportunities for you to donate to the cause. I am the primary broadcaster behind this broadcast, and I'm always reaching out to the community to educate the community, and I really appreciate any form of assistance or some kind of donation. I have opportunities available, so if you would like to know more and like to get involved, then please contact me at laurenlhighdesert@gmail.com. I also want to mention that my Facebook page, Lauren L. of the High Desert, has 127 likes, which is very cool. I really appreciate it. I share a lot of information on Facebook. It is the primary hub of how I keep in contact with everybody, and I keep it updated fairly frequently. I post a lot of content. So if you're on Facebook, I encourage you to like my page and to keep up with what's going on in the Morongo Basin. Again, the name of the Facebook page is Lauren L. of the High Desert. Here are events coming up. I'll be going through the list for you pretty quickly. On January 28th, the High Desert Homegrown Poultry Association will be having its quarterly meeting. That will be held at the Yucca Mesa Community Center in Yucca Mesa. Starts at 6 p.m., and there will be a lot of information shared there. You can go to my website to learn about this event, what they'll be covering specifically. You can also go to my website, laurenlofthehighdesert.com, to learn about all of the events that I'm talking about, the date, the time, location, and you can always contact me as well if you have questions. On January 29th, the Desert Hot Springs Spa Tour will be taking place. I'll actually be covering this tour, so I'm very excited about that. But this tour is open to the public and should be really interesting to go see. Desert Hot Springs is a really noted community for spas and relaxation. And so personally, me, I grew up in Desert Hot Springs all my life. And I know I get asked all the time about the hot springs. Are there hot springs? What are the spas like? And to be honest, I've never really been to the spas. They're hidden in desert hot springs. They usually put oleanders around them, you know, to create a sort of privacy. And so I personally don't know anything about the spas. And so I learned about the spa tour, and I thought, wow, that will be a moment where I can actually go visit the spas in my hometown and know what is going on in town and what draws people to this area. Because growing up there, I had no idea that the spas were so significant. There's obviously the popular Desert Hot Spring Spa up in town, but there are a lot of niche spas that are not very well known. And there's also the Two Bunch Palm Spa, which has been getting a lot of attention as of recently, as its management has picked up the location and has been fixing and improving it quite a bit. So just a little bit more about the spa tour. It will be on January 29th. It is hosted by the Desert Hot Springs Chamber and the City of Desert Hot Springs and Camp of Champions. It will start at 4 p.m. and goes to 8 p.m. There are tickets available, variously priced. The self-guided tour costs $29. There is a motor coach tour, which is $49, and a VIP guided tour, which is $129. Oh, I see here now the VIP guided tour and the motor coach tour are sold out. Wow, so they did pretty well on this. Okay, I'll be posting this link. It's an Eventbrite link on my Facebook page, so you can learn more. Going on to the next event. On January 30th, Friday, starting at 6 p.m., the Yucca Mesa Improvement Association, a.k.a. the YMIA, will be hosting a Fiesta Friday at the Yucca Mesa Community Center in Yucca Mesa. I encourage you to go. It should be really fun. If you pre-order tickets, it's $10 for adults, $7 for children. If you buy tickets at the door, they are a little bit more. So please contact me if you'd like to learn more about this event. And it's really great for the whole family. On February 2nd, Transition Joshua Tree will be presenting a permaculture workshop called On the Road to Permaculture. I went into depth about this on my last broadcast, so I'm not going to go into it so much here. But there are two noted permaculturists that will be speaking and sharing information with the community. It is a free event, and it will be held at the Harrison House in Joshua Tree, starting at 7:30 p.m., so I encourage everyone to go and support the cause. This is hosted by Transition Joshua Tree. I recently got a call from the Morongo Basin Community Emergency Response Team, which, when I look at it, I call it CERT. I'm not sure if it's pronounced differently, Community Emergency Response Team, but I did get a call directly from them because I'm on their mailing list, and I was told that they will be having a training academy starting very soon on February 12th, 2015. And so this would be a great thing to get involved with for yourself and for the community. I'll just brief through the description really quick about this course. It's free to the community. Anyone can register. So the training academy, this is for 2015. There is a class application form available. Here's a description. The San Bernardino County Fire Department invites the citizens of the Morongo Basin to participate in an upcoming community emergency response team, aka CERT, training academy. The CERT class consists of 8 modules containing informative sessions that will help you be better prepared to survive a disaster. Each classmate will provide for learning in the classroom and participating in hands-on activities. Earthquakes, fires, and floods are facts of life and only a part of what you could be exposed to in a disaster. Learn what you can do before, during, and after a disaster. Are you disaster ready? Do you know how to help your family, friends, and neighbors? Do you want to be a part of something much larger, local volunteer response teams? CERT training can help you answer these questions. Participants must be at least 18 years old. Each participant in the program will receive a CERT manual, safety helmet, vest, backpack, and survival skills to last a lifetime upon graduation from the course. Students must provide safety goggles, work gloves, and an N95 breathing mask at the first class. Items are available for purchase locally. Closed-toe footwear must be worn. Space is limited to the first 25 registrants. Participants must attend all class dates in order to be eligible to graduate. There is no cost to attend this course. And so this course will be every Thursday starting February 12th and going through April 9th, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Location is to be determined. All kinds of topics will be covered, such as disaster preparedness, disaster medical operations, fire safety and utility control, search and rescue, as well as disaster psychology and terrorism awareness. That sounds interesting. If you would like to know more about this course, you can contact Battalion Chief Michael Snow at 760-365-3335, or you can email him directly at M, as in Mary, S. So basically, his email is msnow@sbcfire.org. Got a little confused on that email there. And then directly right after February 12th is an old schoolhouse lecture series. This will be about exploring Route 66 through the Mojave. Again, all of this information can be found on my website, laurenlofthehighdesert.com, which I encourage you to go check out. I post blogs. I keep the events up to date. You can also listen to my radio broadcast at any time there. Moving on to local news. The No Dollar General rummage sale is progressing. I mentioned in my last broadcast that an email was sent out asking members of the community to gather together in a group to begin developing a rummage sale to raise funds for the No Dollar General campaign. And so people have been messaging saying that they would like to participate and begin formulating this event. So it is in progress. I personally volunteered to say that I would help with online marketing or online promotion for the event, whatever they need. And so if you would like to know more about this group, more about the rummage sale development, then please contact me and I'll point you in the right direction of how to get involved. A listener from Sweden, Ralph, made a recommendation of some information to share in relation to the solar development here in Southern California. I do not have any direct or any information available right now directly about the local solar projects, but again, Ralph in Sweden recommended that I should encourage people to join the Clean Energy Project. That way, donating unused computer time towards making an efficient and cheap solar can be go towards efficient and cheap solar technology. So just to brief really quick, the Clean Energy Project is a project hosted by Harvard University. And so I'll quickly go into what it was presented on the Harvard website. The Clean Energy Project, CEP, is a virtual high-throughput discovery and design effort for the next generation of plastic solar cell materials. We study millions of candidate structures to identify suitable compounds for the harvesting of renewable energy from the sun and for other organic electronic applications. So basically, it's a program to find more cost-efficient materials for solar energy. How you can help. The Clean Energy Project is built around a distributed volunteer computing network that supports its vast demand for computing time. It is organized in partnership with the IBM World Community Grid, a virtual supercomputer that connects the PCs of thousands of participants worldwide to harvest idle CPU cycles for philanthropic research. I'm not going to get into this topic so much because it is quite a technical topic, in my opinion. I know some of you who are listening are really into technology and probably understand what I'm talking about completely, whereas I know many of you have no idea. I'm kind of in the middle. So basically, to do research involves a lot of computing energy to go through processes to determine the ideal materials for whatever the project is. In this case, it is developing solar cells. So on this World Community Grid, you can actually download a program onto your computer, and it will hook you up to this World Community Grid. So when your computer is idle, when you're not really using it, you can actually be donating computation power to this grid, which can go towards this program of finding or doing research on developing cost-efficient solar cells. It's really an interesting subject when looking into this. And so this is something that all of us can do, and we can just download a program onto our computer and contribute power to this form of research. And it's when your computer is idle. It's when your computer is just sitting there and not really doing anything, and you're contributing to these major projects. This one specifically, again, is about solar cells. The project's taking place at Harvard University. And so it's just an easy way to contribute to the advancement of these solar cells, which ultimately can go towards rooftop solar and distributed solar, which many of us here in the community support. So if you would like to know more about this, please visit my Facebook page. I'll have a link there. And again, it's an online-based program where you can contribute power, computational power, to a grid to support these projects. Again, that was coming from Ralph from Sweden. Thank you so much for sharing that with me. The Yucca Valley City Council held a meeting this past week, and this meeting was actually highlighted because one of the primary topics on the agenda was the marijuana initiative in Yucca Valley, specifically medical marijuana initiative. And I haven't been following this completely. This story came up from Z1077 saying that medical marijuana was going to be discussed at the Yucca Valley City Council. And so I wanted to go to see what kind of support was there or what the community had to say on this topic. And I was really amazed when I was at the City Council meeting in Yucca Valley that there was overwhelming support for medical marijuana dispensaries to be permitted in the community. Many members of the community were present, and many went to the podium to speak directly to the council members. There was not one person who said anything negative, who did not give a positive viewpoint on medical marijuana. It was one person after the other going up and saying, we need this in our community. There are many people here in the community that are driving all the way down to Palm Springs to pick up medical marijuana or whatever their illness is. And so to have these facilities up here in Yucca Valley would be really great for the community up here and make it easier on people in terms of traveling. And there was an option for the council members to vote directly at this meeting to permit medical marijuana dispensaries to set up shop in Yucca Valley. But there was hesitation. One council member in particular was very supportive of medical marijuana dispensaries being in Yucca Valley. And it was actually really interesting when he spoke. I don't have his name on hand, but he claims that his son has passed away, and during the last 3 months of his son's life, his son was on medical marijuana. And so he was very supportive of the initiative, very vocal about it. Whereas the other council members were fairly vague and referenced back to tests or surveys. They wanted to see how medical marijuana dispensaries would impact the community. So they wanted to do tests and observations. And the main thing that came up was that even though a survey or a petition was conducted where more signatures were obtained than needed, and these signatures were obtained in a really short period of time, the petition was geared towards permitting medical marijuana dispensaries in Yucca Valley. Even though this petition was presented the council members still felt that there should be a community vote about allowing medical marijuana dispensaries in town. So that was ultimately what was decided by the council members, was to do a community vote. And the community vote can take place as late as January or June 2015. And it can also cost up to $50,000 to do this vote. So there is definitely feedback from the community members that attended the meeting who questioned, we've shown you a petition. There's overwhelming support here for this initiative. Yet you are going to turn to a community vote and spend possibly up to $50,000. But even then, the council members still decided to do the vote. So there will be an opportunity to vote on this initiative in the near future. Keep your ears open to this opportunity to vote. There is further discussion at the council meeting as well about specifics of the medical marijuana dispensaries. It's one thing to put medical marijuana dispensaries into the community of Yucca Valley, but then there's also the regulations that the dispensaries have to abide by. And so that's also in discussion, which is, should the dispensaries be allowed on Highway 62, directly on the highway? Should they be on secondary roads that are kind of hidden, can't really be viewed? How far should they be from schools? How far should a dispensary be from a bus stop? What kind of recording equipment should be there in terms of security? So they're also in the process of determining what regulations should be put in place for dispensaries. So it's pretty interesting to go and hear about this and what the dispensaries are having to deal with. What was interesting to me and what's pointed out was that there was a medical marijuana dispensary in Yucca Valley at one point, and I guess it was called The Captain. It was here for 3 years, and apparently there was no problems with it. It was shut down for a particular reason, but there was no problems associated with it. So it was also brought up by the community that at one point there was a dispensary in Yucca Valley. Why are we having to jump through all these hoops now to bring them back? Very interesting topic. I encourage you to the city council and investigate the progress of this topic of medical marijuana dispensaries in the high desert, specifically in Yucca Valley. Here's an interesting story I came across from Z1077. World-renowned architect moves to Joshua Tree and he offers classes. The world-renowned architect Glenn Howard Small, often referred to as the father of green architecture, has relocated to Joshua Tree. He is offering the class Architectural Patterns at Copper Mountain College that begins this Saturday, which is actually the 24th. So the class has already started. Here are some words from Glenn Howard Small. His idea of what his form of architecture is. His architecture is self-sufficient as much as possible, in harmony with the natural systems of life, building with systems that do minimum damage or that actually contribute in some positive way to the forces of the earth functions. He has homes or structures that have been built in Nicaragua, Los Angeles, and Oregon. He said, I gave a rather successful lecture at the college that brought a lot of interest and enthusiasm. We hope people to come out and take the class that starts the 24th. It's from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., so people with jobs and a life can still come out on the weekend and attend the class. It's called Architectural Patterns. He said, I'm a founder of the Southern California School of Architecture. the number one architectural school in the world, and I taught there for 18 years. I taught a similar class there. Anyone can take the class, even beginners at high school aged and up. The idea is like start with a square and adding to that a triangle, then adding to that system a circle, etc., eventually creating more exotic patterns that you may find in nature, showing how a person can actually go through the sequence of exploring patterns with that eventually can end up being buildings. It's a classic that's best for those that are artistically inclined or interested in things like art or sculpture. Certain people are very visual. It's a class for them. So again, this class has already started on the 24th. It's from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. But if you would like to know more, you can actually email Glenn. You can email him at glennhowardsmall@gmail.com and possibly still fit into the class if possible, or see what opportunities are available. Finally, I'm going to just report that I attended an event hosted by the Astronomy Arts Theater in Joshua Tree on February 23rd, 2015. It was a star party, and it's always really fun to hang out at the Astronomy Arts Theater and to look through various telescopes and hear about the universe and the stars and galaxies. I personally am not an expert on the subject, so to go to the Astronomy Arts Theater, it's really amazing to be around people who basically it's their life, some of the people there. It's something that they're fascinated by, and it's very interesting to be there. This particular event was featuring the triple transit of Galilean moons and Comet Lovejoy. So I did get to see Comet Lovejoy through one of the telescopes. It was a green fuzzy ball, but but that was really interesting to see, as well as the triple transit of Galilean moons, which was a viewing highlight. Apparently the next transit like this will be in 2036, so that's quite some time away. One interesting thing that they had set up at this star party was the world-famous 3D live experience. And I would actually really like to have someone on the show speak about this particular 3D live experience. Apparently, it's the only 3D live experience in the world. And, you know, I don't have the technical background to explain it in much depth, but basically, there were three screens set up, and they were connected to a telescope pointing in a particular direction. And the screens had a 3D feature, so we had to put on 3D glasses, stand approximately 6 feet away from the screen, and it did have this 3D appearance, which was really fascinating. And what was even more fascinating to me was that the 3D visuals were in real time. So it wasn't just a picture, it was in real time. That was a really interesting thing to see. And I was talking to Tom O'Keefe, who's the main one behind the Astronomy Arts Theater. He was telling me that this 3D live experience, the technology behind it, actually started at the theater with various participants there, various members. But one person, I don't have his name on hand because I would love to progress on this topic. He showed up to their gatherings, and he found the 3D technology to be fascinating. He happened to be technologically inclined, is a really noted person for his involvement with technology advancement. So it's progressed significantly when he became involved. But that is all I have today for my show. I'm about to be cut off. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. I hope you have a great week, and tune in to my next broadcast. I look forward to hearing from all of you. Lauren L. of thehighdesert.com.